Somebody shout glory. It won't hurt my feelings if he just say, all right now. And I'm just going to say the prayer of John at the end. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And don't be afraid of the book of Revelation. Don't be afraid of the preaching of Revelation. By the way, it's wonderful. I just soon him come. I don't know about you. It wouldn't hurt me one little bit. Think about going to a place where there's no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no heartache. Woo! Glory. And turn to Revelation 1 with me, please. I'll do some introduction, and then I'm going to read the first three verses. But I want to say this to everyone so you'll know this going into this preaching on Revelation. I am preaching the book of Revelation the biblical way. You said, what is the biblical way? From a pre-millennial view. Number two, I'm preaching it from a biblical way, a pre-tribulation view. Any other view but those two views are false. They're not scriptural. And that's why, let me say this, that's why this book has been misunderstood. It's been misrepresented. By the way, why would, down in Jonestown, he preached about the apocalypse, and he was able to twist the book of Revelation. And over 900 people drank the Kool-Aid and died. And everything he taught was around the last days. And he taught falsely. I'm going to make a statement right off the bat. Now just hang in there on this. You ready? The second coming of Christ can't happen for at least 7 years. Number two, God, I hear people, they preach in these churches, they preach, well, God's getting ready to burn this place up. Look at me. He will not burn this place. This place will not burn up for at least 1,007 years. You say, what do you mean? The rapture's got to be taking place first. Then a 7-year tribulation. Then the Lord comes with the church who he took out in the air. By the way, though, you ought to be looking up here and thinking, well, if all this stuff are starting to begin, and we're seeing tribulation events starting to begin, then how close is it for the Lord to get his angel out, and the angel blow the trumpet and say, and a loud voice say, come up hither. Well, glory. I'm about to shout. I want to start off by way of introduction. There should be a chart up there. Is there one yet? Is there one up there yet? There you go. There's four methods, and this is all introduction. I'll get to reading the verses and reading and doing the message in a moment. There's four methods of interpretation. You'll notice on the board, we see the idealist, the pre-curist, the continuous historical, and the futurist. You say, Preacher Smith, which one are you? Look up there. I'm the bottom one. I'm the futurist. I'll explain that in a moment. Let me go over the first one. The idealist interpretation. By the way, let me tell you who they are. That's the liberal churches. That's liberals. Here's their interpretation. They believe the book of Revelation is a collection of allegories and stories designated to depict the struggle between good and evil. Ladies and gentlemen, they've been a struggle for good and evil since Adam and Eve. But I want you to know when my Lord comes back, and he is coming back, He will right every wrong. He will cross every T. He will bring judgment on who judgment needs to be brought on. Somebody help me preach right there. By the way, this idealist crowd believes the events are not viewed as actual events, but myths and fables. I'm going to just tell that bunch of liberal crowd, look right up at this preacher right now. This book is not a myth. This book does not have fables in it. This is the inspired, inerrant Word of God that brought revival to America and to bring revival again. If we just stay back to this old King James Bible and believe it how it's read and just preach it. So I'm going to preach this message, as you already know. Then the precarious view or interpretation, it says that this was a historical record of only the events that happened in the first century. Ladies and gentlemen, that's dumber than a bank mule. Anybody that reads it knows its future. He even said the things that shall be hereafter. I'll get to that in a moment. And then, number three, the historical interpretation. That's a sweeping overview of church history from the apostate era down to the present day. And here's what they're saying. Most events are considered past tense, viewed as pure allegory. The view ignores the book's claim to be a prophecy and offers an odd interpretation and strange applications of the text. I want you to look at me right here. If you don't view the book of Revelation as prophecy after chapter 3, you're not viewing it properly. From chapter 4 to chapter 19, it's all prophecy with a couple prefaces in there. Amen. That reveals the two witnesses and reveals the crowd that John saw in Revelation 6. I'm about to get some preaching in me. In Revelation chapter 6, and when it says who will be saved, and he showed who was going to be saved. He showed 12 tribes being saved. By the way, they're not Jehovah Witnesses, or not the ones you know of. They are the real Jehovah Witnesses that God's going to seal in the forehead, and they're going to evangelize along with the two witnesses. Evangelize the whole world, and there'll be a revival during the tribulation period.
Amen.
Whew. Now, glory. Let me give you what I believe are ours, the futurist interpretation. Now, what it is most of the events are future in nature. The view holds the book is mostly prophetic in nature. The view takes a liberal approach to interpretation. Here's what the view, a futurist interpretation, allows the events to be actual events. The rapture, the second coming of the Lord, and the millennial kingdom. Let me start upon that millennial kingdom thing just for a minute. I know I'm getting into this a little deeper than I thought I would be, but I guess I'm happy tonight. I'm preaching about my Lord coming. I'm preaching about it. I preach. If you read Revelation chapter 20, it mentions six times Revelation 20, a 1,000-year millennial reign. 1,000 years. I believe those are a literal 1,000 years. I believe the church is going to reign during that 1,000 years. And I believe it's literal. Now, we reach a lot of people. Had a man used to come here, older man. He was Baptist right through, his family wasn't. And he come down, and he was down in the VA hospital. So I went and seen him while he was down there. And his girls had been coming to, his granddaughters had been coming to visit with him. And I, one morning, preached about the millennial kingdom. I got down there. Them three girls were sitting there, and they said, have a seat right in the middle of them. They said, what kind of reign were you talking about? Well, I wasn't talking about R-A-I-N. I was talking about the reign of Jesus. And that one looked at me and said, you believe in a literal 1,000-year kingdom? I said, yes. I said, don't you? She said, until you spoke about it this morning, I've never heard of it. Our church don't even believe in a rapture. They actually believe the second coming is when the Holy Spirit came into our heart. And one day we'll just die, go to judgment. The goats will go on one side and the sheep will on one side. And that's it. We're out of here. How many of y'all believe they're confused as a termite and a yo-yo? They're not studying the Bible. Now, the date of this writing, and by the way, the liberals don't like this either. It was between 81 and 95, 96 A.D. I personally believe it was written 95 A.D. The liberals try to make it up into the second century. They're wrong again. The author here is John the Beloved. He's that person that had his head on the Lord's chest. He is the one that wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he then penned down the book of Revelation. Say amen right there. Now, here's what I want to give you. The title here, now some of our Bibles, my Bible, in fact, has this. It has this on the title. By the way, this up here, it says it's the revelation of St. John. St. John ain't being revealed. The real title is in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And really what that means is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Now let me give you a key verse. Stay in your, go, you got your Bibles? There should be another chart. Go up here. Is it up there? Second chart. There you go. Key verse, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19. Write down the things which thou hast seen, chapter 1. Write down the things which are seven churches of Asia. And by the way, I'll give you some things about that when I get to preaching on them. There was more than seven churches in Asia, but God picked out seven churches that would fit Christendom all the way down to the coming of the Lord. Now, you might want to ask me, you might want to ask me, where are we living? Let me tell you where we're living. We're in an overlap. There's still some Philadelphia churches here that will not see the hour of temptation that will come over this world. They're going to be raptured out. But the rest of the churches are lukewarm and lost. And he's going to spew them out of his mouth. And then if you read chapter 4, verse 1, right after the Laodicean church was mentioned, you see the rapture of the church. There is, write it down, there is, that's the rapture of the church. After the church age, we won't spend 20 seconds in no tribulation period. Now, let me go into the preaching of tonight's message. Go with me to these first three verses and I'll go over them with you and preach this and we'll go home. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by an angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he said. Look what he said. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Let's go on, number one, in verse 1, the person of the revelation. And it says right there, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. There's five unveilings I want to tell you about in the revelation. First of all, his person. You want to know what he's going to look like in eternity? You want to know what he's going to look like at the rapture? Just read, and we'll get to it in a little while. Read down there where his hair is white as snow and his feet as fine brass. I want to tell you what, our Savior is an almighty Savior, an omnipotent Savior, a wonderful Savior. He is a person. I thank God, the person that redeemed us. I will say, like Lois says in one of her songs, the Lamb has overcome. He is victorious, and he His person is unveiled in this whole book. And I want to tell you what, I just can't, when I read about it, I look at it, I think about it. I want to tell you, talking about the line of the tribe of Judah, talking about the lamb that was slain. I want you to know that is my Savior and that is your Savior. And then His purpose. I could leave this out of my sermon, but I'm not going to. Some of my Baptist friends and some people who's real eat up with politics, they getting off here on this purpose. I had some, you know, I preach about moral issues like abortion and gay marriage. I believe they're both wrong. But I'm not doing that as a political view. I'm doing that from a biblical perspective.
Amen.
They're wrong whether we have election this year or not.
Amen.
And by the way, this socialist type of government that we're bringing into our government right now, come on, this trickle-up economy, that ain't nothing more than European. And by the way, the 10 nation confederacy, them 10 horns, guess who they're going to come from? They're going to come from Europe itself. That's why Europe's getting stronger and we're getting weaker. You said, I don't like that preach. That goes against my politics. I got some friends that they don't like it, but the truth is, God put Obama in power. You said, well, I voted against him. Well, I did too, but that doesn't change the fact. He's put in there by God. The only reason he's there is God. I personally believe, with all these things he's writing down and all this stuff he's trying to do, he's trying to turn us in to something similar to what's going to happen one day. Now, don't come up and ask me if Obama is the Antichrist. No. He isn't, but I'll tell you one thing. He's got a good run on a forerunner of it. In my preaching. And then number three, his plans. You know God's got a plan. There's a lot of people, and I'm going to give you all some good pastoral advice right now. Don't be anti-Semitic. If anybody we need to be a friend with right now, we need to be a friend with Israel. I know every nation over there is against them. I mean, they got everybody coming again. By the way, that's going to happen. By the way, when I was in Israel, guess where I went in Israel? For one of our first stops on the first day, we went to the Valley of Megiddo. We saw where one of the last battles is going to happen. When the Lord comes, He's going to sweep down through that valley. Well, glory, I'm about to preach. And I'm going to tell you what He's going to do. He's going to wipe out all nations. And He's going to end up at the Mount of Olives. It's going to cleave. Then He's going to take a little stroll through the Eastern Gate. I'm about to get happy. Y'all with me? This y'all, hey, by the way, the title of this series is Back to the Future. His plans, His plan for Israel, His plan for the church, His power. Let me tell you something. Don't tell me He ain't going to have power. He's going to sling 110-pound hailstones mixed with fire and brimstone right out of heaven. Woo! Hey, yes, sir. And by the way, when we talk about the first half of the tribulation, that's basically what man brings on himself. And the last half is the wrath of God. But I want to, can I inject this? Can I put a little injector to y'all right now? Because I really need to. I've been around the last 3 or 4 days trying to help church members need water, for example. Any of y'all seen any craziness? How many of y'all saw some craziness at the food store or anything like that? Have you seen it? I had one of my members went, somebody called him and said there may be a water problem, so he just stopped at Walmart and got him four families worth. I think Mike's y'all, about four families worth, about nine. Nine cases of water. Somebody come by and said, why you got all that water for? He said, because I got four families I'm helping. And he said, I was glad to get out of there because it started getting ugly. I went to a store Friday night, and I wasn't looking for water, but I would have grabbed me one if I saw it. And I was right here, Jeff. The water was about where my pulpit was. And there was a lady that was about where the microphones were. I didn't see her until we almost had headbutts. I went over, I just walked around like, about like this. I reached down like that, and all of a sudden the little hand went, no, you're not. I said, ma'am. She said, I was here first. I said, you were? I said, no problem. I'm a Baptist preacher. I live peacefully with all men as much as possible. Hold a minute. Hold a minute. You better listen about what I'm saying. If we're going this crazy over a bottle of water for 3 days, what are they going to do when famine hits this world and they ain't going to have nothing to eat and nothing to drink unless they take a mark called 666 on their forehead, which will doom them forever? Somebody help me preach that. That's a little extra here. I didn't plan it, but I like it. Then we see his power, the unveiling of his power. God has power to bring all this about. And then his promotion. Let me tell you, it says in Philippians, one of these days we're going to crown him King of Kings. He already is that. And Lord of Lords. And I want you to know every sinner and saint of all ages is going to bow down and say he's King. I'm going to do it because I want to. They're going to do it because they have to. You said, well, I won't get saved. I'm not going to come to Christ. You're not going to scare me. I ain't trying to scare you. I'm just telling the truth. You're not going to frighten me. Well, if I'm not frightening you when I leave here and you say, there he goes again, I am going. And you left here for that tribulation period and you ain't got nothing to eat and nothing to drink and you've already had a 3-day sample of what people's going to get like. How would you like to be around? Somebody shout if you're glad you're not going to be there. Woo! And see, this book tells us the world has not seen the last of Jesus. I've been listening to some of these documentaries during Christmas while I'm trying to explain him away and all that junk. I want to tell you, they ain't seen the last of Jesus. Yeah, he came as a lamb. Well, he's coming again. That's a lie. Let me tell you what. He's going to bring the full wrath of God on this world. But I want to give y'all good news. When we get raptured up, that means we're going to come back and we're going to mount up on white horses and we're going to follow him out of heaven. Somebody say, I don't believe animals in heaven. You're crazy. There's white horses up there. And Marguerite swears up and down the bandit went up there. But I don't know about that. Number two, look at 1B, the purpose of the revelation, to show unto his servants things which must surely come to pass. Shortly come to pass. Purpose is clearly shown in verse 1, to show them. You know what? Look at me, all my church members, look at me right now. If it was shortly to come to pass 2,000 years ago, how shortly do you think it is now? When this government and everything is ready to go. Especially what we're seeing about Israel. Lord God, somebody ought to help me preach it there. And we're told the purpose of the book is to reveal the things which must surely come to pass. And he sent and signified it by an angel. That angel is a messenger. Later on when you read the book chapter 2 and chapter 3, you're going to find out. Now, I don't look like no angel, and he surely don't look like an angel. But do you know in the Bible that the pastor of the church is called the angel of the Lord? Really, is simply what it means, or the angel. I'm God's messenger. Hey, I'm just God's voice piece. Help me there. If you're called to preach, young people, you better take it seriously. You ought to go to school tomorrow. Now, you're out of school, by the way, Putnam County and Canal. But you ought to go to school Tuesday by the will of God. You'll be there Tuesday. And I want you to go over and say, I heard my preacher preaching. He preached to the Lord going to come. And I want you to know if you die without Christ, you're going to hell. But most likely you'll be here when he comes and you're going to be left behind. Why don't you just get saved? Here's a little whosoever will track. How many's having fun yet? I'm enjoying this. You say, well, how can you have fun? Because I am not going to be on the losing end of this bargain.
Amen.
Now, it literally gives a sign. These symbols are a spiritual code. Languages change, symbols do not. John was trying to write about events that he's looking right now in the 21st century. He was writing about what's happening now. And he was using symbols that he was familiar with. And you say, how you interpret it? You interpret them symbols line upon line and precept on precept. Most of them we've already seen. Number four. Number three. Let me get number three. The penman of Revelation. 1C and 2. And he sent his hand and sent and signified by an angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and the thing. And by the way, he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. This is the same guy that was called the son of Zebedee, who means son of thunder. By the way, he had no love in his heart until Jesus came into his heart. But when Jesus came into his heart, Jesus called him the apostle whom he loved.
Amen.
He is the faithful one that recorded the revelation of the Lord. Now, I want everybody to put your antennas up. Right now, I want you to hear the last point and the last three things. Important. The promise of revelation. Now, I can be like those liberal preachers and just preach a little Sunday morning sermon, health and wealth, and get my hair dyed black. That wouldn't help. It ain't going to help nobody. I'm going to say three things. Look what it says in that third verse. There's three present tense words you describe one who expects to receive the blessing. Now, how many of y'all are looking forward to him coming? And you're expecting a blessing when he comes. Now, let me give you this. It's right in verse number 3. I want you to see it. Number 1, there is a blessing for they that read it. And this reading was in public reading. How many? Now, I'm going to just ask. I want to ask. How many of y'all have read through the book of Revelation at least once? That's good. That's a good crowd. Read it all through. If God, hey, how many of y'all want to be blessed? Let me start that. Well, if you want a blessing, and he said you get a blessing if you read the book, why not read the book? Number 2, they that hear it. Now, you need to get some more people. This is good crap for Sunday night. Let me tell you, need to get some more people. I'd say, our preacher's preaching on Revelation. I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to get down to the rubber meets the road here in about 2 or 3 chapters, and we're going to be, woo! And you need to get people out because they're going to have a blessing for hearing it. Right now, God, because you've done listened to 3 verses of it, he's done promised you, I'm blessing you. Because you've sat here and been listening to me for about 25 to 30 minutes preaching about Revelation. He said, blessed are they that hear. You've been listening?
Yes.
Have y'all been listening?
Amen.
You done got a blessing. Hello? That thrills in my mind. Man, I'm happy. God, that ain't hard. I get a blessing if I read it. I get a blessing if I hear it. And I get a blessing if I keep it. I want y'all to know something. You're not going to take that hope out of my heart. How many's lost loved ones here recently? It's the people you really love. I've lost my father. My mother has Alzheimer's, won't live much longer. But if I'm reading that thing right and interpret it properly, I'm getting about ready to see him again. How many does that thrill you? And don't let no joker tell you you won't know him. You'll know him. You'll know him. You'll know him. All you'll see is a glorified body that recognizes what about like they were, but it won't have no sin in it. There won't be no limitations to it. And you'll have reunions up there. You won't maybe know them as mom, but you'll know mom.
Amen.
And I'll know my daddy. I led him to Jesus.
Amen.
First one saved in my church. I was pastoring over there in Leatherwood. Got baptized with 42 other people in our first revival.
Amen.
I know how much you love your wife, Pauline. Can you imagine, just for a minute? It hurts when they go. And you still hurt. But isn't it a great thought? It won't be long. You'll see her. I'll see Dad. And my mother will be in her right mind. And she won't forget when I come in there for 1 minute and the next minute she don't know I've been there. Some of y'all ought to be running. What's the why you in your seats? Lord God Almighty. God said just read it, hear it, and keep it. Now here's what I expect. When I get you through this and get you believing right, most of you do, but some of you might not, so I'm fixing you. You're going to be a pre-tribulation, pre-millennialist, and I want you to go out there and tell the whole world that Jesus is coming, and there's going to be a group leave and a group stay, and I'm glad I'm on the leaving group. And by the way, the Antichrist spirit's been here since the Lord's day. But I want to tell you, he's getting ready to be manifested. I'm not sure if he ain't already on the planet. I think he is on the planet. If he ain't on the planet, he will be on the planet. I think I even know who he is, but I won't tell you this week. Jared don't agree with me on this. But Jared will get his eyes open like him little puppies do. And what it means is taking the message to heart, keeping it. Now let's get serious a minute. How many of you people in this room know somebody in your family is unsaved? Raise your hand. How many in this room know somebody in your family saved but they're out of church? Raise your hand. If the Lord's getting ready, and it's a blessing for you to hear it and a blessing for you to read it, and you ought to keep it to your heart. If he's that close, what are you doing about keeping him out of hell? Look at me. What are you doing about keeping him, getting him ready for the rapture? I want you to do this for me tonight. I want you to say, I'm going to believe this book. And I'm going to read it. And I'm going to study with you, preacher. But I'm going to keep it. And tomorrow I'm going to go tell people they need to. I'm going to find somebody tomorrow to witness to. Or I'll call one of my family and try to get them out here. Or I'll witness to them. Listen to me. They need to hear it. Stand with me.